Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.jbsba.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. I think you'll like it. And that's all you have to do is just give us your email address. You can fill the other information out if you want to, but mainly we need your email address. And also, don't forget all the other things you can do there on my site. I think you'll like it. If you're a small business owner or want to be, I think you'll find it to be very helpful. And thanks to our sponsors, it's all free to you. Dr. Daniel Amen is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. He's the co-author, along with William Shankel, of a book called Preventing Alzheimer's. And this is a very important topic that I wanted him to join us today to share with us some of these thoughts and maybe clear up some misinformation. Dr. Amen, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
It's good to have you here. First, I think it's important to point out that today is it's not just a coincidence that you're here today. There are a lot of things going on across the country today, aren't there, with regard to Alzheimer's disease?
You bet. And it's actually a very exciting time because we're learning more about it, and we're learning about the things that can help prevent it. And this is a disease you want to prevent because it just devastates the lives of individuals, families, and businesses.
Right.
Because businesses pay. You know, people develop Alzheimer's disease 20 to 50 years before they actually get symptoms. And it shows up at work as forgetfulness and disorganization, maybe impulsivity, and loss of productivity. And work should be involved in helping to prevent illness because ultimately it takes away people from the workforce.
Well, exactly. And, you know, that's something I didn't know until I read your book, and that it begins years before it actually manifests itself in a dramatic way. But I guess my point was I was at Rotary yesterday, and I got the feeling that today is a day that's being recognized around the country, that Alzheimer's disease is being talked about around the country. Is that true?
You know, I don't know anything special about today except
maybe it's just
book.
A coincidence. Then maybe it's just that I thought that it was because I know that there a lot of the hospice organizations are focusing on it, I think, today. But anyway, one of the things that that I think is that I've always wanted to ask somebody is how often Alzheimer's has become the convenient catchphrase for what actually might not be Alzheimer's. Let me give you an example. My grandmother, in her late 80s, started showing signs of dementia, and my mother called it Alzheimer's. And I said, and I remember thinking, Mom, she doesn't have Alzheimer's, she has 93. You know, she died, she lived almost to be 100, but who's, you know, was I correct? Was she correct, or does it matter?
Well, it does matter because what's causing a problem, if you name it right, you're more likely to treat it right. But it's a myth that being 93 means you can't remember things. If you keep your brain healthy as you age, you keep your cognitive abilities intact. When people are losing their keys at 55 and they go, oh, it's just normal aging, for me, I would be concerned, especially if your memory is getting worse. It's mm-hmm. the progressive nature of this illness that should worry people. And most people who have this disease do not get diagnosed until they are in the moderate to severe mm-hmm. stages. And that's a disaster because it's really hard to treat then, where if you get it early, the treatment is significantly better.
So there actually is treatment for Alzheimer's. I think that might be a news to a lot of people that if you can diagnose the disease, that someone has the disease, there are treatments to minimize it.
Right, and the earlier the better. And why we called the book Preventing Alzheimer's Disease, if you're at risk, and we should chat about the risk factors, if you're at risk, the earlier you do intervention strategies, the more likely it is you're going to have 6 or 8 or 10 years of productive time without this thing chewing up your brain.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about how to diagnose it, how to identify it. As you said, if you lose your keys, you know, and we all do this. We all, and maybe we shouldn't. Maybe it's I know it's a serious disease. Can be a very horrible disease for. I've been around it myself with friends and family over the years, and it's an awful disease to have. And maybe we shouldn't tease about it. I know we've all said, you know, I'm having an Alzheimer's moment, or it must be early onset. I've been guilty of that myself. When what you're saying is that, you know, maybe there's something to it if you're forgetting your keys or whatever.
You bet. And some of the things to watch out for, you know, are you having frequent trouble remembering appointments or remembering holidays? Are you having trouble finding the right words during conversations? Now, if you've always had that, what you want to look for, is there a progression? Is it different or a change than it was 10 years ago? Are you having issues with irritability, anger, aggression? You misinterpret what people hear, what people say to you. So you're having trouble sort of reading social situations.
Are there any symptoms that aren't related to are there symptoms that wouldn't seem like memory symptoms, that maybe something else, some other kind of manifestations that are associated with Alzheimer's disease?
Trouble with attention span for routine tasks. A lot of people go, oh, is it ADD or is it Alzheimer's disease? And if you didn't have these symptoms in childhood and now you have them and they seem to be getting worse, might be early onset Alzheimer's disease.
Right. What now? How would we go to get diagnosed? Where would we go?
There's a wonderful screening test in the book that one teaches people what their risk factor is, and two sees if there's a progressive nature to the problems that you have. So, you know, that's an easy way to screen.
Mm-hmm.
It's a wonderful website run by Dr. Shankle, my co-author, called mccare.com.
mccare,
C-A-R-E.com.
mccare.com. Hold on to that thought, Dr. Amon. We're going to take a quick break, folks. When we come back, we're going to talk about some of the risk factors that you might have, and we'll get Dr. Amon to explain that to us. And what do some of the treatments look like? How do you get them, and how do you take them? That's coming after these messages. We're talking about the book Preventing Alzheimer's, available wherever books are sold. Stay with us. We're back. It's 23 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with Dr. Daniel Amon. We're talking about his book, along with his co-author, Dr. William Shankle, Preventing Alzheimer's. Dr. Amon, you mentioned earlier, by the way, give us that website again that Dr. Shankle has.
mccare, C-A-R-E, .com. There's another wonderful website called Prevent Alzheimer's Disease, preventad.com.
Okay.
That also has great information. And information is what empowers people to do something about this disorder. And if you have it in your family, it's especially important to know about it early and start taking care of it.
How hereditary, how much does genetics play in Alzheimer's?
Well, there are certain genes that if you have these particular genes, you're more likely to get early Alzheimer's disease in your 40s and 50s. There's another gene called the APOE4 gene. If you have that gene, you have 2.5 times the risk. And if you have two of those genes, you're at 5 times the risk. And what we say in the book is you should actually screen children who play contact sports. Because if you have the gene and you have a head injury, you're now at 10 times the risk.
Wow! So you're saying find out if your child has the genes to be predisposed to Alzheimer's, and Yeah, I've never heard that before. That's very interesting. Now, where would you go to get screened? How would you do that?
You can get screened for the gene. Your family doctor can do that. It's okay. Called the APOAPOE genotype. What type of gene do I have? And if you have the E4 version, it means you should take prevention seriously as early as possible.
So next time you go to have a physical, to ask your doctor to screen you for Alzheimer's likelihood.
Right.
Okay. Now, let's say that the doctor says, you know what, you tell me you aren't exhibiting any symptoms, but it looks like you do have the genetic, you have the genetic potential to have Alzheimer's one day. What would we do about that information?
Well, it's very important. One, get early regular screening. And if on the website, mccare.com, it has a 15-minute test that you can take yearly to see what your risk is. The second thing is know the other risk factors, like smoking and stop smoking, alcohol abuse and stop abusing alcohol, heart disease, hypertension, hardening of the arteries, heart rhythm problems, and get those treated.
Mm-hmm.
Heart disease.
But there is no silver bullet, right? I mean, there's no pill you can take to minimize Alzheimer's, is there?
Well, there's a number of things that you can do. Actually, very simple things that you can do. Increase your exercise. Half an hour a day, 4 or 5 days a week, decreases your risk for having Alzheimer's disease. Listen to shows like yours, because new learning causes the brain to make new connections.
I was going to ask you about that. Is exercising the brain a way to fight off Alzheimer's?
You bet. People who drop out of school early have the highest risk for Alzheimer's disease. And I'm a child psychiatrist by training, and I treat ADD and learning disabilities, and it's just critical to get those things treated, because left untreated, you actually increase your risk for problems later in life.
Well, I have noticed that in my life that I have been able to actually improve my memory by exercising my brain, by things that I've done. For example, in the 6.5 years that I've been doing this show, my memory has improved over where it was before I started doing the show, because of all the different people I talk to and all the different things that we talk about. My memory has improved.
Well, if you keep your brain active as you age, it's very helpful. So in a business standpoint, you want to always keep your employees learning. Don't, mm-hmm. If they're just in rote jobs where they're doing the same thing over and over and over again, it's not good for their brain, and they won't be as sharp as if you are always challenging their brain.
How about the genders? What is the gender situation? More women or more men get Alzheimer's? Or is there a difference?
A little bit more women, but not significantly so.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty much the same. It doesn't respect gender or race.
Is the reason that we're living longer the reason that we're seeing more incidents of Alzheimer's?
It's certainly one of the main reasons why we're seeing more. Our diet also matters, though, and high sugar diets increase the risk. Obesity increases the risk. People who eat, when you go to the fast food restaurant and they go, "Do you want it supersized?" Say
right.
No.
So genetics and lifestyle, you seem to be saying, have a tremendous influence. Of course, genetics obviously would, but you're saying lifestyle has a tremendous influence on whether you get Alzheimer's or not.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's very true.
Dr. Amen, I'm sorry, I have to stop you because we're coming up on the end of the visit. But I want you to come back because we've got more to talk about. I want you to inform us some more about this very debilitating disease. Folks, the book is called Preventing Alzheimer's by Dr. David Amen. Dr. David Amen, thank you for being here today. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you.
We'll see you next time.
Okay,
quick break, 29 after. I'll be right back with Floyd Hurt. The show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.